and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
In Luke, the 8th chapter, Jesus presents the parable of the souls. In this parable of the souls, the first word is hearken. And in the 8th verse, after Jesus had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Our Lord was talking about the responsibility of hearing. I know that each one of us realizes that every person who addresses a public gathering has a responsibility. But in this parable, Jesus is discussing the responsibility of those who are to hear. And he does so in the parable of these four souls. In verse 4 of Luke 8, "And a great multitude had gathered, and others came to him from every city. And he spoke to them by parable. A sower went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And some fell on the good soil, and it brought forth a crop 100-fold. And then his disciples asked him, saying, What does this parable mean? And he said to them, It has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand. And then in verse 11, beginning, Jesus explains this parable. But he says, the seed is the Word of God. In this parable of the souls, we see the responsibility of those who are hearing. I think sometimes in the ministry of Jesus, we find our Lord very disillusioned and very concerned. As in Mark 6, verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, Jesus did not expect that everybody would accept the terms of His coming kingdom. And yet, I do not believe that He expected the reverses to befall it either, because He was so concerned and upset that so many people could reject His wonderful and His marvelous teaching. On this occasion, when this great multitude had gathered, and people had come from every city, we don't know how many people were in that group, but Luke says a great multitude. And in emphasizing it, he said that people had come from every city, every place. And so it must have been a tremendously large number of people. They had probably come for all kinds of reasons. Some of them came out of curiosity. They wanted to hear this man Jesus. Others had come because they had followed the crowd. It seems that some folks, without necessarily any great conviction, just follows the crowd. And so probably there were those like that. Others came from self-seeking motives. Some came as revolutionaries to make Jesus king, to use Him as one to revolt or a party cry. Some came in shallow enthusiasm. Others came in deep longings. And probably some came, they really just didn't know why. So all groups and classifications of people were in that multitude. And when they gathered, Jesus used this marvelous, simple teaching of a sower who goes out to sow the seed. and says that some fell on the wayside soil, some on rock, some among the thorns, and then some on the good soil. And He tells what happened to the seed in all of these ways. And after the Lord had said this, His disciples said, "Now, Lord, what does this mean? What does all of this have to say? What does all of this mean?" And Jesus then gave the explanation of it. I don't believe that our Lord was giving it from a standpoint of percentages. I don't believe that Jesus was saying that only 25% of people are going to be like the good soil. I don't believe our Lord was saying that 75% of people are going to be unresponsive to His teaching. I don't believe He was dealing in percentages, but He was describing the four kinds or classes of people, of hearers. And I believe this covers all. That there are four kinds of hearers. Maybe not in every audience, but that there are four kinds or different types of hearers. It may be in this audience today that there may be people in all of these four classes. And it may not be that all of the four classes are represented in this audience. But our Lord is saying that there is the possibility of four kinds of souls. And in different audiences there may be different kinds of soul. All of them may be represented, or part of them may be represented. But at least these are representative of people. The responsibility of hearing. First, He talks about the wayside soil. And when the sower went forth to sow, some fell by the wayside. Now, the wayside soil was the beaten path. It could be spoken of as the soil at the edge of the field, where people would walk, where they would come and go, and eventually that soil would get packed down and it would get hardened. And you could throw seed on it and the seed would not find any lodgment. It would just roll to lower ground because the soil was packed and hardened. And it would blow away before the wind. And the birds would come and they'd devour it because it had not penetrated the soil, the wayside soil. Now their hearts and their lives that are like this, hearts that become hardened. Jesus said in Matthew 13:5, "For their people's hearts are waxed gross. Their ears they have stopped. Their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, should hear with their ears, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Our Lord said that there are people that let their hearts become hardened and insensitive to the will and to the Word of God. In Luke 24, verses 24 through 27, we find an example of this. "And after many days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish, and they sent for Paul to hear of him concerning the faith. And he reasoned with them of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come. And Felix trembled and said, 'Go your way. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you.' And he hoped that money might be given him by Paul to release him. And he conversed with him often. And after 2 years, Pontius Festus succeeded him. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a favor, left Paul bound." Now Felix, the first time when Paul came and preached to him, the Scriptures say that he trembled, that he was afraid. It had an impact upon him. And he said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call on you. But that's the only time that the Bible tells us that the preaching had any impact upon Felix. Even though for 2 years he often talked with Paul, it seemed that he became hardened and insensitive to the will and to the Word of God. And after 2 years, when Festus came to take Felix's place, there was no change, there was no difference in his life. He was like that wayside Saul. His heart had been packed and hardened and unresponsive to the will of God. There are many souls like that, because the souls of men are like a thoroughfare. Everything goes over them, weddings and funerals and pleasures and trade, but nothing seems to stir them to the very heart. When anyone hears and doesn't respond, then they're going to eventually become hardened and insensitive. There's some people that can visit some of the most illustrious cities of the world and gain nothing from them. I read of a man who visited Rome, the eternal city. And there's so many things to be seen there. The Colosseum, a great marvel of art, of architecture. Many, many other things. But this man visited Rome, and the only thing that he learned was a new gambling device. Others have stood at Niagara Falls, and they've seen that water cascading over that fall and have not been impressed very much with it. They've left there to go to some cheap carnival or something else. Some have listened to some of the great masterpieces, great works of music, such as the Fifth Symphony. And to them, it's only been sound. It hasn't been impressive at all. And so it is with the truths of God. There are those that sometimes, like Felix, they hear that truth, and yet their hearts become hardened. They are like the wayside soil. And as Jesus said in explaining it, when they hear, lest they should believe, the devil comes and takes it out of their heart and causes them to get concerned and interested in something else. Secondly, the Lord said that there are lives and hearts like the rocky places, the rocky soil. Some fell on the rock. He was simply meaning shallow soil. I suppose all of us have known of land that sometimes did not have very much depth of soil. Maybe there was a layer of soil, a thin layer. Then underneath, there was just a rock, a ledge. And so anything could be planted on that rocky soil. And even though it would germinate, it would spring forth very soon, very quickly. It would soon die because of a lack of moisture, because the soil isn't deep enough for the roots to penetrate very far. And then when the dry weather comes and the heat occurs, then the plant cannot exist. And Jesus said that there's some people who are like that. They're like the rocky soil. They receive the Word and they do it with joy. They do it with a thrill and with excitement. But having no root in the time of temptation, they fall away. In other words, there's some quickly come, quickly go. The thin earth causes them to have a feverish activity or growth, but then they soon fail to be faithful. In Luke 9, verses 57 and 58, one came to Jesus and said, "Master, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "The foxes have their holes, the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay His head. And another said, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bury my Father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but come and follow me. And another said, I'll follow you, but first let me go bid farewell to those who are at my house. And then Jesus summed it all up by saying, any man having put his hand to the plow and then looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven. All of these people were excited about following Jesus. And Jesus said, I want you to understand, it doesn't or isn't like it appears to be. Even the foxes have their homes. Even the birds have their nests. But He said, the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay His head, to call His own. He wanted them to understand what it meant to serve Him. It didn't mean positions of power. It didn't mean places of prominence. It didn't mean all of the luxuries and all of the things that people often think about. And so when persecution comes, when the difficulties arise, they fall away. Any person can start, but staying power is the thing that matters. Look at marriages. More than 1 million of them begin each year. But out of all of those marriages that begin each year, look at those that end in divorce. Look at those that do not survive very long. It's not only true in marriage, it's not only true in the home, but look at jobs. Person starts something and they're thrilled with it and excited for a little while, and then the newness of it wears away. It's like a child with a new toy. Thrilled and excited with it for a little bit, but then soon the excitement's gone. Jesus said that's the way some people are. They're like those on the rocky soil. They begin with joy and excitement, but they do not continue faithful because they wither away when the temptation comes or when persecution arises. Thirdly, our Lord said that there are some of the seed that fell among the thorns. Latent seed. The thorns were not already growing at that time. But the land was filled with these weed seeds. And eventually the thorns would grow and they would choke out the plants. And Jesus said that lives were like this, are those that are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. All of these things just come in and they just crowd out the good. Isn't this what takes place in so many, many lives? There are those who hear the Word of God, those who begin the Christian life, and then they let a lot of other things that Jesus calls cares or riches, our pleasures, just anything in this life, crowd out the Word. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, a man was like this named Demas. Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I don't know what there was about the world that so enamored and excited Demas. But something of the world he loved more than he did the Lord. And Paul just says, he's forsaken me. Now that could be said of multitudes of people. Demas isn't the only one. There are many people that let the good get choked out of their life. Maybe they let the job get in the way. Or any number of things take place to hinder them from faithful service. Whatever those cares are, whatever those things are that take the place of God, must be eradicated from our life. And yet among those who are Christians, among those who start the Christian life, many let the cares, the riches, they become so filled with things. You remember on one occasion Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I know that a lot of people have tried to place all kinds of interpretations upon that. But throughout the Bible, the Scripture is abundantly clear that those who have riches often let the riches and the things of this world crowd out the Lord. That doesn't have to be that way. Some people like Abraham and Job and even others in the Bible were eminently wealthy people and very successful people, and yet they were God-serving and God-fearing people. But for every one of these, it's easy to let cares and riches and pleasures or whatever the things of this world may be to crowd out the things of God. One of the most pathetic scriptures in all the Bible to me is that in 1 Kings chapter 11 concerning Solomon, a man who was intellectual, a man who was wealthy, a man who was powerful, a man who was king. And the Bible says that when he was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, so that his heart was not true with the Lord God as was his father, David. Turned away from God. He let God get crowded out of his heart, out of his life, even when he was old. And so it's easy to let Jesus get crowded out of hearts and out of life. And then fourthly, he talks about the good soul. That which fell among the good soil, the seed, permeated, germinated, sprang forth, and he says it brings forth a crop 100-fold. These are they, falling in a good and honest heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. There's the good soul. There are those lives that listen to the Word of God, that believe it, that accept it, that obey it, and then they have the patience to be faithful. They're like James says in James 5:7, the farmer. He plants his crop and has patience over it until it received the early and the latter rain. He patiently plants the seed and tills the soil and takes care of the crop until harvest time comes. He does so with patience. And Jesus says that this is what we must do. We must let our hearts be honest and right. And we must follow the Lord in patience, doing His will and being obedient to His message. The responsibility of hearing. There's the wayside soul, packed and hard. There's that's the rocky soul, very shallow, and only a thin layer soil. And then those that are like the thorny soul, that the things of the world come and crowd out the Lord's will. And then there's that good soul. The responsibility of hearing. You know, when we hear, when we come to a worship assembly like this, we do not come as spectators, but we come as participants. We come not to be amused, but rather to worship. And we come to receive the Word and not let the devil or anything crowd that Word out of our heart and out of our life. And then maintain the patience and the perseverance and the faithfulness to bring forth fruit to the glory and honor of God. I wonder today that each one of us would sincerely and honestly look at our heart and ask ourselves, what kind of soil represents me. In these four, I would be classified in one of them. Which one represents me? I hope that each of us can say that it's the good soil. It receives the Word. It keeps it. It follows it. It does it. But if you have not been faithful to God's Word and God's truth, if you've let your heart be hardened, then I hope that you will today open it again and let Jesus come in. If you've let the things of this world crowd out the things of God, then I hope today that you'll repent and you'll turn back to God and say, I'm going to put first things first and I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. That your life will be like the good soul. I know that soul cannot change itself, but people can. We can make our lives different. We can make our lives what they need to be. And we can be the good soil. We can be the productive soil if we'll let Jesus in our life and we'll be faithful to Him. If you're not a Christian, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we would urge you to believe in the Lord with all of your heart, to repent of your sins, to confess His name, to be baptized, and then to live for Him every day of your life. If you have obeyed the gospel in days past and have not been faithful and true to the Lord, you've let Jesus be crowded out, you've let the good things be choked out of your life, then come repenting today and asking the Lord's forgiveness, and He will reinstate you into a proper relationship with Him, and you can know the weight of sin lifted, sin forgiven.